second chapter, heading Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. King Kamsa not only occupied the kingdoms of the Jadu dynasty, Bhoja dynasty, Andak dynasty, and the kingdom of Sudarshan, but he made alliances with all the demoniac other kings known as the demon Pralamba, demon Baka, demon Churan, demon Trinavarta, demon Aghasu, demon Mustik, demon Arista, demon Divid, demon Putana, demon Keshi, demon Dhenu. At that time, Jarasandha was the king of Magadha province, at present known as Bihar state. By his diplomatic policy, he became the most powerful king of his time under the protection of Jarasandha and made alliances with such kings as Banasur, Somasur, thus making himself the strongest Kamsa. He began to behave most inimically with the Jadu dynasty, where Krishna was to take his birth. Thus being harassed by Kamsa, the kings of Jadu dynasty, Bhoja dynasty, Andak dynasty began to take shelter in different other states, such as the state of the Kurus, the state of the Panchal, the state known as Kekaya, the state known as Shalya, the state known as Vidarbha, the state known as Nishad, the state known as Videha, and the state known as Kaushal. Thus he broke the solidarity of the kingdom of the Jodus and Bhoja as well as Andhapa. Practically, he made his position as solid as anything within the vast tract of land known at that time as Bharatvarsha. Next paragraph. When Kamsa killed six babies of Devaki and Vasudeva, one after another, many friends and relatives of Kamsa approached him and requested him not to continue these heinous activities. Actually, all of them became worshippers of Kamsa. When Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, at that time, the plenary expansion of Krishna is known as Ananta. He appeared within the womb of Devaki. At that time, Devaki was overwhelmed both by jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful that she could understand that Lord Vishnu has taken shelter within her womb, but at the same time, she was sorry that as soon as her child will come out, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being compassionate with the fearful condition of the Jodus out of atrocities committed by Kamsa, he ordered the Yogamaya for the internal potency of the Lord, because he is not only the Lord of the universe, but he is specifically the Lord of the Jadu dynasty. This Yogamaya is the chief of all potencies of the personality of Godhead. In the Vedas, it is stated that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has got multipotencies. Parasa Shakti Vividhaivasyati. All those different potencies are acting externally and internally, and Yogamaya is the chief of all such potencies. The order had to appear in the land of Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, which is always decorated and full with beautiful cows. Vrindavan, Rohini, one of the wives of Vasudev, is residing at the house of King Nanda and Queen Yashoda. Not only Rohini, but many other people of the Jodhu dynasty, they were scattered all over the country on account of being afraid of the atrocities of Kansa. Two of them were living in the caves of the mountain also. The Lord also informed Yogamaya that under the imprisonment of Kansa, Devaki and Vasudev are there, and at the present moment, within the womb of Devaki, my plenary expansion, Sesha, is there. You can just arrange transfer of the Sesha womb from Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Just after this arrangement, I am personally going to appear within the womb of Devaki with my full potencies. And I shall appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. And you should appear as the daughter of Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. Since you will appear as my contemporary sister, people within the world will worship you with all kinds of valuable presentation, incense, candles, flowers, and sometimes offering sacrifice also before you, because you shall be quickly satisfy their desires of sense gratification. People who are after materialistic perfection would worship you under different forms of your expansion, and they would be named like Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandrika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kannaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sarada, Ambika. And so since Krishna and Yogamaya appeared as contemporary brother and sister, or in other words, the supreme powerful, the supreme power, although there is no remarkable distinction between the powerful and the power, still power is always subordinate to the powerful. Those who are materialistic, they are worshippers of the power, but those who are transcendentalists, they are worshippers of the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful, and Durga within this material world is the supreme power. Actually, people in the Vedic culture worship this powerful and the power. There are many hundreds and thousands of temples of Vishnu and Devi. Sometimes it is also found that people worship both the powerful and the power simultaneously. The worshipper of the power, Durga, or external energy of Krishna, may achieve all kinds of material success very easily, but anyone who wants to be elevated transcendentally, he must engage himself in worshipping the powerful in Krishna consciousness. Lord also declared to Jogmaya that my plenary expansion, Ananta, Shesha, who is now lying in the Umba Devaki, and because you will transfer him to the Umba Jasoda on account of thus being forcibly attracted, he would be known as Sankarsan. On the other hand, because he would be the source of all spiritual power, called Bala, by which one will be able to attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Raman. Therefore, my plenary portion, Ananta, after appearance, will be known either as Sankarsan or Balaram, expirer. In the Upanishad, it is stated, Nāyamahātmā balahīnana labhra. But that is, nobody can attain supreme form of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala. Bala means Balaram. It is not that Bala means physical strength. Nobody can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength, but one must have a spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Sankarsan. Ananta Sesha Naga, he is the power which sustains all the planet in their different position. Materially, this sustaining power is known as law of gravitation, but actually it is the display, the potency of Sankarsan. So Balaram or Sankarsan is spiritual power or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is representative of Balaram, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies the spiritual strength. By the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of mercy of Krishna. When Jogmaya was ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that way, she circumambulated the Lord, then appeared within this material world according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the supreme power of the supreme powerful personality of Godhead attracted Lord Sesha from the Umba Devaki to the Umba Rohini, both of them were under spell of Jogamaya, which is called Yoga Nidra. When this was done, then people understood that Devaki's seventh pregnancy was miscarried. Thus, Lord Balaram, although appeared as the son of Devaki, was transferred to the Umba Rohini to appear as her son. After this arrangement, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is always ready to bless his unallied devotees in his full potency and as the Lord of the whole creation, entered within the mind of Vasudev with full potency of inconceivable energy. It is, however, understood in this connection that Lord Krishna, first of all, took the situation in the unalloyed heart of Vasudeva And then he was transferred to the thought of Devaki. Actually, he was not put into the womb of Devaki by seminal discharge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable potency, can appear in any way. It is not necessary that he has to appear in the ordinary way of giving birth, seminal injection within the womb of an woman. Thus, when Vasudev was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure, unalloyed heart of Vasudev is not different from the original form of Krishna. Appearance of Krishna's form anywhere, specifically within the heart, is called Dhamma. Dhamma means not only Krishna's form, but his name, his form, his quality, his paraphernalia, everything become manifest simultaneously. Thus the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki, exactly like the sunshine transferred to the full moon rising from the eastern direction. Krishna tape number 4. Thus, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered the body of Devaki. From the body of Vasudev, without any condition of the ordinary living entity. When Krishna was there, it is to be understood that all his plenary expansions, such as Narayana and incarnations like Lord Nrisimha, Varaha, everyone was with him without any condition of material existence. In this way, Devaki become the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, and the cause of all creation. Although Devaki become the residence of the Absolute Truth, still, on account of her being interned in the house of Kamsa, she was looking as if suppressed fire or misused education. When fire is covered by the walls of a pot, or in other words, when fire is kept in some jug, actually the illuminating the rays of the fire cannot be appreciated very much. Similarly, if knowledge is misused without doing any good to the people in general, such knowledge is not very much appreciated. Similarly, Devaki, who became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa. Therefore, people could not see the transcendental beauty of Devaki on account of conceiving the Supreme Personality of God. Next man. When Kamsa, however, saw the transcendental beauty of his sister Devaki, he concluded that certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken shelter now in the womb of Devaki because she was not so wonderfully beautiful before. He could distinctly understand that there is something wonderful within the womb of Devaki, otherwise how she could become so much exceptionally beautiful, which she was never before. In this way, Kamsa became perturbed within his mind because he became assured that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would kill him in future, must has already been there. Kamsa thus began to think within himself, what is to be done now with Devaki, because surely she has now Vishnu or Krishna within her home. It is sure and certain that Krishna has come to execute the mission of the demigods. So even if I kill Devaki immediately, his mission cannot be frustrated. Kamsa knew it very well that the purpose of Vishnu nobody can frustrate. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of God cannot be violated. His purpose must be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demons. If I kill Devaki at present moment, Vishnu will enforce his supreme will more vehemently. Says that if I kill Devaki just now, it would be the most abominable action on my part. Nobody desires to kill his reputation even in awkward situation. So if I kill Devaki just now, all my reputation will be spoiled. Devaki is an woman and she is under my shelter. She is pregnant. And if I kill her immediately, all my reputation, result of past activities and duration of life must be finished. He also began to deliberate that a person who is too much cruel, he lives even in his lifetime as dead, because nobody likes a cruel person. And after the death of such cruel person, people curse such person, because a cruel person, on account of his concept of self identified with the body, must be degraded, being pushed into the darkest region of hell. Considering thus all the pros and cons of killing Devaki at that time, he finally decided not to kill Devaki at that time, but to wait for the inevitable future. But his mind became absorbed in animosity with personality of Godhead. Thus he patiently waited for the deliverance of the child, expecting to kill him as he had done previously with other babies of Devaki. Thus being merged in the ocean of animosity with the personality of Godhead, he began to think of Krishna and Vishnu while sitting, while sleeping, while walking, while eating, while working, or in all situations of his life. His mind became so much absorbed with the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that indirectly he could see only all around him Krishna and Vishnu. Unfortunately, although his mind was so much absorbed in the thought of Vishnu, still he is not recognized as a devotee, because he was thinking of Krishna as enemy. Same status of mind is found in the person of a great devotee, but a devotee thinks of Krishna favorably, not unfavorably, as Kamsa used to think of him. Think of Krishna favorable is therefore Krishna consciousness. To think of Krishna unfavorable is not Krishna consciousness. At this time, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and accompanied by great sages like Narada, followed by many other demigods, invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa, began to pray for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in very nice selected verses, which are so much pleasing to the devotee and which can avoid fulfillment of the desire of the devotees. Next, the demigods began to offer their prayers as follows. The first word they used, that the Lord is true to his vow. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna descends in this material world just to protect the pious and to destroy the impious. That is his vow. So the demigods could understand that the Lord has now his residence within the womb of Devaki to fulfill this vow. He is appearing just to fulfill the same principle as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, to protect the pious and to annihilate the impious. In other words, the demigods were very much gladdened that the Lord is appearing to fulfill his mission. Then they addressed him as Satyam Param. Satyam Param means the supreme absolute truth. Everyone is searching after the truth. That is the philosophical way of thinking. So the demigods giving us information that the supreme absolute truth is Krishna. For one who becomes fully Krishna conscious, he can search out or attain the absolute truth. His absolute truth, because relative truth is not truth in all the three phases of eternal time. The time is divided into past, present and future. So Krishna is truth, always past, present and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by the supreme time, course of past, present and future. Before the creation, Krishna was existing. When there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when this creation will be finished, Krishna will remain. Therefore, he is absolute truth in all circumstances. If there is any truth within this material world that is emanated from the supreme truth, Krishna, if there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of such opulence is Krishna. If there is any value of reputation within this material world, the cause of such reputation is Krishna. If there is any value of strength within this material world, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there is any value of wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truths. This material world is composed of five principal elements, namely earth, water, fire, air and sky. And all such elements are emanation from Krishna. Material scientists accept these primary five elements as the cause of material manifestation, but the elements in their gross and final state are produced by Krishna. Living entities who are working within this material world, they are also production of his marginal potency. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that the whole manifestation is combination of two kinds of energies, the superior energy and inferior energy of Krishna. Living entities are the superior energy, whereas the dead material elements are inferior energy of Krishna. So everything remains in its dormant state in Krishna. Next, where the demigods continue to offer their respectful prayers unto the supreme form of the personality of Godhead Krishna by analytical study of the material manifestation. What is this material manifestation? It is just like a tree. This tree stands on the ground. Similarly, the material manifestation as tree is standing on the ground of material nature. This material manifestation is compared with a tree because a tree is ultimately cut up in due course of time. Because a tree is cut up in due course of time, it is called a briksha. Briksha means the thing which will be ultimately cut up. Therefore, this tree of material manifestation cannot be accepted as the ultimate truth. And because on the material manifestation there is influence of time. But so far Krishna's body is concerned, he is eternal. That is already explained that he existed before the material manifestation, is existing while the material manifestation is continuing, and when the material manifestation will be dissolved, at that time Krishna will continue to exist. As such, this material world cannot be accepted as the absolute truth. Only Krishna can be accepted as the absolute truth. So far, the material manifestation is compared with a tree. It is standing on material nature. This tree has got two kinds of fruits, namely distress and happiness. Those who are living on the tree, they are also just like two birds. So one bird is the localized aspect of Krishna known as Paramatma, and the other bird is the living entity. The living entity is eating the fruits of this material manifestation, namely sometimes he is eating the fruit of distress and sometimes is eating the fruit of happiness. But the other bird is not interested in eating the fruit of distress or happiness because he is self-satisfied. This is also confirmed in the Katho Upanishad that two birds are sitting in this tree of body. One bird is eating the fruit, another bird is simply witnessing. And this tree has got its roots extended in three directions. That means the root of the tree is the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. As the root expands, similarly, by association of the root, modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, one expands his duration of material existence. So far, the fruits are concerned, their tastes are four kinds. They are called religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately liberation. According to the different association of three modes of material nature, the living entities are tasting different kinds of religiosity, different kinds of economic development, different kinds of sense gratification, and different ideals of liberation. Practically, in ignorance, live in the material world, but because there are three qualities, sometimes the ignorance is covered by the quality of goodness or the quality of passion. As such, there are different kinds of religious principles, different kinds of economic development, different kinds of ideas of liberation. So they are taken as four kinds of tests of the fruits of distaste and happiness. Such tastes of the material fruits are also accepted through five kinds of senses, five kinds of sense organs. Knowledge acquired by such five kinds of sense organs are also subjected to six kinds of webs, namely fermentation, illusion, infirmity, death, hunger, and thirst. This material body, or the material manifestation, is covered by seven layers, namely skin, muscle, flesh, marrow, bone, fat, and seminal. The branches of the trees are eight, namely earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and ego. There are nine gates in this body. It's like the two eyes, two nostrils, two ear, one mouth, one genital, one rectum. And there are 10 kinds of internal air passing within the body, just like pana, apana, udana, prana. The two birds seated in this tree, as explained above, is the living entity and the supreme localized personality of Godhead, Paramatma. The root cause of all this descriptive material manifestation is the supreme personality of Godhead. The supreme personality of Godhead expands himself to take charge of the three qualities of the material world, namely, Vishnu takes charge of the modes of goodness, and Brahma takes charge of the modes of passion, and Lord Shiva takes charge of the modes of ignorance. So, by Brahma, or by the modes of passion, creates this manifestation. Lord Vishnu, by the modes of goodness, maintains this manifestation, and Lord Shiva, by the Mortha, ignorance, annihilates the whole creation. Ultimately, the Supreme Lord is the cause of creation, maintenance, and dissolution. And when the whole manifestation is dissolved in its subtle form as energy of the Lord, it rests within the body of the Supreme Lord. The present Supreme Lord Krishna, he is appearing just for the matter of maintenance of this manifestation. Actually, the cause, supreme cause, is one. But being deluded by the three modes of material nature, this intelligent person sees that the material world is manifested by different causes. Actually, those who are intelligent persons, they can see that the cause is one, Krishna, as it is stated in the Brahma Sanghita, sarva-karana-karanam. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of all causes. Brahma is the deputed agent for creation. Vishnu is expansion of Krishna for maintenance, and Lord Shiva is expansion of Krishna for dissolution. My dear Lord, it is very difficult to understand your eternal form of personality. People are unable to understand your actual form. Therefore, you are personally descending to exhibit your original eternal form. Clearly, people can understand somehow the different incarnation of your Lord Shiva, but they are puzzled to understand the eternal form of Krishna with two hands and moving amongst the human beings exactly like one of them. This eternal form of your Lord Shiva is ever-increasingly transcendental pleasure for the devotees. But for the non-devotees, this form is very, very dangerous. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very pleasing to the sadhu. Because in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, paritranaya sadhuna. But this form is very much dangerous for the demons, because Krishna descends also to kill the demons. He is therefore simultaneously pleasing to the devotees but dangerous to the demons. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, you are the source of pure goodness. Therefore, there are many great sages who simply by samadhi or transcendentally meditating upon your lotus feet, thus being absorbed in your thought, they have easily transformed the great ocean of nisans created by the material nature as if a pit impressed by the hoop of a calf. The purpose of meditation is to focus concentration of mind upon the personality of Godhead, beginning from his lotus feet. By doing so, simply by such meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord, great sages, they cross over this vast ocean of material existence without any difficulty. The self-illuminated, the great saintly persons who have crossed over the ocean of nescience by the help of the transcendental boat of your lotus feet, they have not taken away such boat. They are still lying in this side. The idea is that if you take a boat to cross over a river, the boat also goes with you the other side of the river. So when one reaches the destination, how the same boat can be available to others who are in this side? So to answer this difficulty, the demigods claim that the boat is not taken by them, but the boat is still lying in this side, because to cross over the ocean of material nature, the devotees do not require to take the boat with them to the other side. Simply by approaching the boat, the whole ocean of material nescience become reduced to the size of the pit caused by the hoop of a calf, and as such, without taking the boat the other side, they simply cross the ocean immediately. Because such great saintly persons are compassionate for all other conditioned souls, so the boat is still lying, or the lotus feet of the Lord, one can meditate upon at any time, and by doing so, one can cross over the great ocean of material existence. So, meditation means to meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Lotus feet is indicating the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are impersonalists, they do not recognize the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, their object of meditation is something impersonal. So the demigods express their mature verdict that persons who are interested matter of meditating something void or impersonal, they cannot cross over the ocean of nescience. Such persons are simply concocting that they have become liberated. Actually, oh my Lord, the lotus side, their intelligence is contaminated because they are missing to meditate upon the lotus feet of your Lord. As a result of this neglectful activity of such impersonalists, they fall down again on the material way of conditioned life, although they rise up to the point of impersonal realization. Impersonalists, however, undergo severe austerities and penances to merge themselves into the Brahma effulgence, for impersonal Brahma existence. But because minds are not free from material contamination, simply they have tried to negativate the material ways of thinking, that does not mean that they have become liberated. So they fall down. In the Bhagavad Gita it is stated that the impersonalist has to undergo great tribulation in realizing the ultimate goal. The beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also stated that without devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nobody can achieve liberation from the bondage of fruitive activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, the statement of Lord Krishna is there, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the statement of great sage like Narada is there, and here also the demigods confirm it, that persons who have not taken to devotional service are supposed to have not reached the ultimate purpose of knowledge without being favored by your grace. Impersonate simply think that they are liberated, but actually they have no feeling for the personality of Godhead, because they think that Krishna, when he comes to the material world, he accepts a material body. Therefore, they neglect the transcendental body of Krishna. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti Mangura. So, in spite of conquering over the material lust, rising up to the point of liberation, such persons fall down. Without taking to the devotional service of the Lord, if somebody is engaged just to know things for the matter of knowledge, such person cannot achieve the desired result, but their only achievement is the trouble for knowing things, that's all. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that to realize Brahma, identification is not all. Brahma identification may help one to become joyful without any material attachment and detachment, achieve the platform of equilibrium, but one has to take to devotional service after this stage. When actually one takes to devotional service after being elevated to the Brahma realization platform, then only one is admitted into the spiritual kingdom for permanent residence in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the result of devotional service. Next paragraph. On the other hand, those who are devotees to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they never fall down like the impersonalists. The reason is that the devotees, even if they fall down, they remain in form, perfection with your Lordship. As such, they can meet all kinds of obstacles on the path of devotional service and very freely, without any fear, can traverse on the head of the soldier of such obstacles. On account of their surrender, they are sure and certain that Krishna would always protect them, as promised by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that his devotees are never vanquished. Next, my dear Lord, you have appeared in your original unalloyed eternal form of goodness for the welfare of all living entities within this material world. Taking advantage of your appearance, all of them can very easily understand what is the nature and form of the Supreme Personality of God. Persons belonging to the four divisions of social order, namely the brahmacharis, the grihasthas, the vanaprasthas, and the sannyas, all of them can take advantage of your appearance. Step number 5, Krishna. My dear Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, she is sure, however, that your devotees, who are somewhere other adopted in your service, do not fall down from high position
like the impersonalists mentioned above, on account of their being protected by you, they are able to pass over the heads of any commander-in-chief of Maya who can always put stumbling block on the path of liberation. My dear Lord, you appear in your transcendental eternal form for benefiting the living entities so that they can see you face to face and offer their worshipful sacrifices by ritualistic performance of the Vedas, mystic meditation, devotional service as they are recommended in the scriptures. My dear Lord, if you would not have appeared in your eternal transcendental form, full of bliss and knowledge, which can eradicate all kinds of speculative ignorance about your position in truth, then all people would simply imagine about you according to their respective modes of material nature. That's why the appearance of Krishna is the solution of all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his mode of material nature. Just like in the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is the oldest person. As such, some section of religion is imagined that God must be very old. Therefore, they depict a form of the Lord like a very old man. But in the same Brahma Samhita, it is contradicted. Although he is the oldest of all living entities, and he has his eternal form as a fresh, youthful person. The exact words used in this connection in the Srimad Bhagavatam is vijnanam ajnana vidha ajnanavit apamarjanam. Transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, vijnanam. Vijnanam means experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process or from disciplic succession. As Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita, this is vijnanam. As he realized by his transcendental experience, so he presented the form and the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. So this is called vijnanam. And this vijnanam, actually vijnanam means ajnanavit, which can smash all kinds of speculation in ignorance. People are imagining about the form of the Lord, sometimes no form, sometimes form according to their different imagination. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is vijnana, is scientific experience knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya. So there is no doubt about it. The Krishna's form, Krishna's flute, Krishna's collar, everything is reality. Now here it is said that this vijnana, this scientific experience knowledge, is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. Therefore, without your presence, without your appearance as Krishna as you are, this ajnana, and these hands are speculative knowledge, and this vijnana, both of them would not be realized. Ajnana marjana apamarjana. By your appearance, the speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished, and by your appearance, the real knowledge, experience knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. There are men influenced by three kinds of the modes of material nature, and they imagine their own God. According to the modes of material nature, in this way, God is presented in various ways, but your appearance will establish what is the real form of God. The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is that when God comes, when incarnation of God comes, he accepts the form of matter in goodness. But actually, the form of Krishna or Narayan, that is transcendental to any material ideas. Even the greatest impersonalist, Shankaracharya, has admitted that Narayana para of Bhaktya, this material creation is caused by the abhakta, the impersonal manifestation of matter, or non-phenomenal, or total reservation of matter. But Krishna is transcendental to such material conception. That is expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shuddha Satya. Shuddha Satya, Vishuddha Satya, that means transcendent. He does not belong to material modes of goodness, but he is above that position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental, eternal status of bliss and knowledge. My dear Lord, when you appear in your different incarnations, such incarnations have different names and forms according to different situation. Just like Lord Krishna is your name because you are all attractive. You are called Shyama Sundar because account of your transcendental beauty. Shyama, blackish, and is still said that you are more beautiful than thousands of cupids. Kandapa Koti Kamani, the material world, nobody black is in color can be beautiful. But because you are transcendental absolute, even you appear in a color which is compared with the black is cloud, still your beauty is many more times than the delicate body of Cupid. You are sometimes called Giridhari on account of lifting the hill known as Govardhan. You are sometimes called Nandananda or Vasudev or Devaki Nanda because you appear as the son of Maharaj Nanda or Devaki or Vasudev. Impersonalists think that your so many names or forms are according to the particular type of work and quality, because they accept you in such a position as a material observer. But actually, simply by seeing your form and activities, one cannot study your absolute nature by a speculation of the mind or suggesting the name by words. But, my dear Lord, that is not the way of understanding you. One must engage himself in the devotional service, then one can understand your absolute nature, transcendental form, transcendental name, transcendental quality. A person who has got a little taste of your lotus feet, he can understand your transcendental nature of form and quality. Others may go on speculating for millions of years. Still, it is not possible to understand even a single part of your actual position. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be understood by the non-devotees because by Jogmaya there is a curtain which covers Krishna's actual feature before the non-devotees, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Naham prakasa sarvas. The Lord says, I am not exposed to anyone and everyone. Krishna, when he was actually present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, everyone saw him, but not that everyone could understand him, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, everyone who died in his presence, he attained complete liberation from material bondage and transferred to the spiritual world. My Lord, the impersonalists or non-devotees cannot understand that your name and your form is identical. The Lord being absolute, there is no difference between his name and his actual form. In the material world, there is difference between the form and the name. A fruit, mango, is different from the form of the mango. One cannot taste the mango fruit simply by chanting mango, mango, mango. But the devotee who knows that there is no difference between the name and the form of the Lord, they chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they realize actually that they are always in accompaniment with Krishna. Persons who are not very much advanced in the absolute knowledge of the Supreme, for them Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastime, so that they can simply think of the pastimes of the Lord, and still they get the same benefit. Because as there is no difference between the transcendental name and form of the Lord, similarly, there is no difference between the transcendental pastimes and the form of the Lord. People who are less intelligent, just like the woman class, the laborer class, or the mercantile class, for them, the great sage Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, Krishna is there in his different activities. So, Mahabharata is the history. So, less intelligent class of men, simply by studying the history of Mahabharata and hearing and memorizing the transcendental activities of Krishna, they also gradually come to the standard of pure devotee. What to speak of the pure devotees who are always absorbed in the thought of transcendental lotus feet of Krishna and always are engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. Such persons never to be supposed in the material world. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that those who are always in the business of Krishna consciousness by their body, mind and activities, they are supposed to be liberated even within this body. The same thing is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are engaged in devotional service of the Lord, they have already transcended the material position. The appearance of Krishna means giving chance both to the devotees and non-devotees for ultimate goal of life. The devotee gets a direct chance of seeing him and worshipping him, and those who are not on that platform, they get the chance of memorizing his activities and thus elevated to the same position. My dear Lord, the Supreme Controller, we understand that just on your appearance on this earth, all the demons like Kansa and Jarasandha will be vanquished. All auspiciousity will be ushered into this world on your appearance. And because you shall walk on the globe by your lotus feet, there will be impression of the marks on your soul, namely the flag, the trident, the thunderbolt, etc. And by seeing those marks impressed on the surface of the globe, not only this earth will be considered as having been graced by you, but we who are in the heavenly planets, the upper space, we shall also be glorified by seeing such marks. Next para, my dear Lord, you are unborn. Therefore, we do not find any reason for your appearance than your pleasure at times. Though the reason of appearance of the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita is stated that he descends just to give protection to the devotee and to vanquish the non-devotee. Actually, he descends for pleasure meeting with devotees, not for vanquishing the non-devotees. The non-devotees can be vanquished simply by one freaks up material nature. The action and reaction of the external energy, material nature, the creation of the material world and annihilation of it or maintenance of it are being carried on automatically and simply by taking shelter of your holy name, because your holy name and your personality is non-different. So if the devotee can take shelter of your holy name, it is sufficient for their protection. In other words, the protection of the devotees and annihilation of the non-devotees actually is not the business of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when he descends, it is just for his pleasure, transcendental. There cannot be any other reason for his appearance. So, my dear Lord, you are appearing as the best of the Jodhu dynasty, and we are offering our respectful, humble obeisances unto your lotus feet. Before this appearance, you also appeared as the fish incarnation, as the horse incarnation, as tortoise incarnation, as the lion and man combined incarnation, as boar incarnation, as swan incarnation, as the king Ramchandra incarnation, as Parashuram incarnation, similar many other incarnations you appeared just to protect the devotees. Similarly, we request you put your present appearance as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Give us similar protection all over the three worlds and remove the obstacles for peaceful execution of our life. Next paragraph. My dear mother, Devaki, within your womb is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing along with his all plenary extension. He is the original Personality of Godhead, appearing for our auspiciousity. Therefore, you should not be afraid of your brother, the king of Bhoja. Your son, Lord Krishna, who is the original Personality of Godhead, will appear for protection of the past Jodhu dynasty. The Lord is appearing not only alone, but accompanied by his immediate plenary portion, Baladev. Actually, Devaki was very much afraid of his brother Kansa, because he had already killed so many children of her. So she used to remain very much anxious about Krishna. So there is a statement in the Vishnu Purana that in order to pacify Devaki, all the demigods along with their wives used to visit always to encourage her not to be disappointed and afraid of her son being killed by Kansa. Because Krishna, who was within his womb, was to appear not only for diminishing the overburden of the world, but specifically to protect the interests of the Jodhu dynasty, and what to speak of Devaki and Vasudeva. In the previous verse, it is understood that from the mind of Vasudeva, Krishna was transferred to the mind of Devaki, and from the mind, the Lord was within the womb of Devaki. Thus, Devaki being the mother of Krishna, she was worshipable by all the demigods. Thus, worshipping the transcendental form of the Lord, all the demigods departed from that place to their respective heavenly abodes, keeping Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva in the front. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta part of the second chapter in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the matter of prayers of the demigods for Lord Krishna in the home,